Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name today. Glad to be here this weekend with you. I was blessed last night and trust that we'll be blessed again today. Looking into the scriptures. Maybe before we begin, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering here, that we could gather together in a peaceful way without fear of authorities or anyone else, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that you'd bless our time together as we look into your word and pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts, speak to each one. Truly, Lord, you know the needs here better than I do. And Father, I just pray that you would bless us, minister to us, draw us near to you, and just help us, Father, as we're gathered here together. Pray you'd give me the right words also to speak, those that you don't want me to speak, even if I have them written down, that you would keep them from going forth out of my lips, and just pray I could say the words that would bring glory and honor to you. Thank you, Lord, and just commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you would turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6 is where we'll begin this morning. I want to read a passage here. It's a bit long, but just like to use this as an introduction here and then draw out about 6 points that I want to see if we can be challenged with and be ministered to. So 2 Kings chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 24. We'll just begin reading verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the winepress. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him, and I said unto her, On the next day give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head. Look when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord, what should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered and said of the Lord, answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not see, not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there, and if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they shall save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come on upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, excuse me, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto the servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all as the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. They took therefore two chariot horses. The king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate, and the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. As the man of God had said, so spake who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken in the to the king, saying, Two measures of barley for a shekel, and two measures of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. So it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. All right. So far. So now, I think this is a familiar passage, but one that is quite powerful, many applications that we have here, many things. I want to now take six individuals or six groups of people out of this passage and see how and if we identify with them, if we are like some of these ones that I'm going to refer to here, and then see if we can learn some lessons from them. And the first one that I'd like to look at is, so they won't be necessarily in any order per se, and not even necessarily in the order that we read about them, but just as they kind of came to me. The first ones that that people don't normally, I don't think, consider when they look at this passage is the Syrians. That's the first one that I'd like to look at. The Syrians here, we read, we didn't actually meet them. We just heard about them. We heard that they sieged Samaria, and we heard that they fled. Those are the two things that we read about, the beginning passage in chapter 6 that we read, and then later on in chapter 7, 5 through 8 or so is what we find there. The interesting thing here is the lepers, when they came to the camp, they were not aware of what was going on. They just came there. We get the inside scoop, so to speak. We get to see behind the scenes what happened. And so the Syrians, just look at them, what happens to them. They're there. They're on the offensive. They're there surrounding the city. What is the reason why they're there? I think the primary reason they're there is to get Elisha. If we would go back to earlier chapter 6, we would see that Elisha was telling the king of Israel, constantly was telling him what the Syrian king was saying in his secret chamber. And he was upset with that, and so he wanted to get Elisha. And so he had surrounded him, had finally trapped him in a city, and he was going to get him. The famine had been quite some time. I'm not sure how, probably, I mean, I think I could safely say maybe several years or maybe a whole year or longer, several years. And Elisha's in there, and so now they finally have him. And the interesting thing here is we see what happens. They hear a noise. Whether that noise is something that really happened or if it's something miraculous that God just caused for them to hear in their ears, we can't say. But they hear a noise, and right away their suspicions are on guard. They're aroused, and they realize that, or they consider the perspective or what's going to happen here, and that's the enemy is going to come, and they've been hired against, and they're going to be attacked by the Hittites and the Egyptians, and they're going to come and deliver Israel. And what I want to just look at here is a verse out of Proverbs 28, verse 1. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And that's exactly what we have here with the Syrians. The first thing is that the wicked are there, they've surrounded this city, and they intend to do great mischief, and yet they just hear a noise and they flee. They flee. God's warning to Israel was this same thing. In the book of the law, God warned them if they would follow him, then 1,000 would flee from one of them. But if they would forsake God, then one person would come and 1,000 would flee. And you have that warning there. Leviticus talks about the same thing there. In Leviticus 26, it says that they shall be afraid of a leaf. And if the leaf will just shake a little bit or blow in the wind, they shall flee because of it. And we have that same thing here. There's no peace for the wicked. They hear a noise and they flee. The second group of people, moving on here, that I'd like to just look at is the lepers. These lepers, they were the kind of the outcasts. One interesting observation here is that the lepers were not allowed in the city, so there was an element. The Israelites had forsaken their God in a long way, but there was one element of them keeping at least some of the law. And this was one of it. They did not allow the lepers into the city. And so the lepers were outside, or they were in the gate, and they were hungry themselves. They were fearful. They did not know what would happen if they were. They wanted to preserve their own life, and they figured maybe the safety of the city would protect them from the Syrians, but there the famine would get them. And so we have these lepers, however many there were. I'm not even sure if it specifies. Maybe it said four. I guess I always picture four. I can't even say now if it specifically said that. But I'd just like to look at these lepers a little bit. We see here that they realized their need. They came to the end of themselves. They realized their need, and they were hungry. They were desperate, and they didn't know what else to do. So they started to rationalize among themselves. They said in verse 3 there, "Why sit we here until we die?" So if they stay idle, they're going to die. Then their discussion and their logic keeps going. If we say we shall enter into the city, then famine is in the city and we shall also die. So the first option is, the conclusion of it is they're going to die if they stay. The second one is, if they go into the city, they're also going to die. And then it says again, if we sit still here, we die. So basically the same thing as what said earlier. And then the third one there, "Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." So all three options, whether they stay, whether they go into the city, or whether they give themselves to the Syrians, all of them look like the end will be one of death. The difference is that if they go to the Syrians, maybe they'll have mercy on them, and so then there's a slight hope that they might survive if they go there. And so we know that's what they do, and they live because of that. But what I want to just point out here from these people is our situation any different? I mean, we are not necessarily that we're caught up in a siege where no matter what we do, in a very short time we'll die. I mean, that is the possibility, but we always think of ourselves as, well, we're young, we have many years to go yet. But in a sense, is it any different whether we die here soon or whether we die 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? Ultimately, the answer will be the same. We're going to die. And so what I was thinking here is we can't really decide that, or we can't come to the realization, or we can't avoid that aspect of dying, meaning physically. But we can choose as to where we will die. We can choose that. Now, what I mean by that, where and even how. And we can choose that. And by what I mean by that is, if God, say, calls us on the mission field somewhere, then we follow through with him and we go where he leads us to go, then this is where, if we stay there, that's where we're going to die. If we, on the other hand, choose to stay here and say, go our own way and build our own business and do our own things, eventually we'll grow old and die as well. So, stay here and work among the church and